When the Lord was in Israel and he was walking on the earth, he was a God-man. On one hand, he just looked like you and me. And you couldn't tell there's anything special about this man. But on the other hand, he was God. And he had a certain insight that no other man could have. And I don't know what it felt like to be that man walking on the earth which he had created, to be among the people whom he loved, and he decided to be incarnated at a time when there was no Uber. There's no, I don't know if you, I'm sure most countries have Uber, right? Taxi, if that doesn't translate. There was no taxis, there's no planes, there's no trains. He just walked. If you've been to Israel, it's not an easy walk. It's not like Mauritania. Some of you may be complaining, I have to live in Lehi Ufki. That's a long walk. But the Lord, he would journey all the time around the country. And so he's this man, he's a normal man. He gets tired. But on the other hand, he's God. And somehow, sometimes, according to his divinity, he could see things that no one else could see. Right? I can see. And so one time, it's in Luke chapter 19, he says he arrived at Jerusalem and he just started weeping. It just says he started weeping. He started crying. And if you were there, you're like, Jesus, why are you crying? It's chapter 19, verse 41. It says, and as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. Why was he weeping? Maybe you never heard this before. And he said this, saying, if you knew in this day, even you, the things that are for your peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. And he was talking about, you read the section, he's talking about how he was God on the earth. He came to his own, but they did not receive him. And so because of that, what happened is eventually the city of Jerusalem, because they didn't take the opportunity, because they didn't recognize this is the Lamb of God. Oh, terrible things happened in Jerusalem. And so not a stone was left. It was totally destroyed. And so this morning, as you are just so much in the enjoyment, I see it on your faces. Right, Lisa? I hear an amen from Lisa. Amen. Oh, you are touching the meaning of our human life. What is that? That is to contain and be filled with God. Amen. But I have to tell you something, and that is, I have been serving, I know I look young, but I've been serving for many years. This is maybe, I can't work it out, but this is my 29th or 30th conference here. I haven't been speaking that long, I came just like you, I was your age. But just where you are sitting, and I hope this is not too heavy, because sometimes I'm too heavy. But just where you are sitting, I have seen young people just as happy as you. Just as released. Just dancing like the brothers on the front row. But today, they are no longer here. What do I mean? They're no longer in the Lord's recovery. And I just feel, on one hand, so happy to see you going on with the Lord. But on the other hand, I'm so fearful for every one of you. Because I know, just like the Lord described there in Jerusalem, the enemy wants to come, circle around you, and destroy what he has gained in you. And brothers and sisters, I was so happy to see the serving ones standing up and singing. Brothers and sisters, we cannot let this happen. We have to shepherd all of these young people. It's our responsibility. But young people, you're not children anymore. You're not children anymore. The Lord has called you. The Lord has brought you to this conference because He wants you to know Him. He wants you to appreciate all that He has done for every one of you. So we don't want to be like those Jews in Jerusalem who the Lord walked through the city. We had Him. I was there in Poland. But we didn't receive Him. We didn't take the opportunity. And so as the older saints in the back will tell you, you know, I'm not the oldest here. They will tell you, life is full of opportunities. It is full of windows. Windows open and they close. We may think, I'm going to be young forever. No. While we are young, we have to give our youth to the Lord. We have to be those who would pay the price. And so, brothers and sisters, as we close this conference, I hope this is not too heavy, but it's serious. And it matters to me that every one of you would go on with the Lord and be useful to Him for His recovery. It doesn't matter to me where you live, whether you live in Serbia, Albania, California. You are useful and needed by the Lord today. All we can do is tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. I give myself to You. That's all we can do. Lord, keep me in Your recovery. Brother Daniel, he came up to me and he said, Brother, do you remember me? I said, yes, Brother Daniel, I remember you. How many years was it? 26 years ago, we were in this conference together. Brother, what kept us? God's mercy. It's God's mercy. But we have to do our part, which is to just give ourselves to Him. And this morning, we're covering a topic which is really on my heart. And sorry, Brother Rodrigo, I'm not going to do a good job with the outline. But I just want to share what's in my heart. I go to a lot of Lord's Table meetings. Okay, sorry. This morning, we are covering such a precious topic. The Lord's Table. Okay, so maybe I should just pause my thought so that you're all on track. Hopefully, I don't think I said. We're a little confusion maybe. We're covering the evening line message, 5, in the morning. So if you're lost, wondering where we are, if you're in English, 44. Okay, so hopefully I can regain my train of thought. We're covering this precious meeting. Now the title is Blood and Water. The Bread and Cup. Now before I get into the outline, I just want to make some observations. You know, I travel sometimes, and whether I'm in the UK, in London, or I'm in, I visit, maybe I was visiting Dusseldorf one time, maybe in the US. But many times, my observation is this, that the Lord's table meeting is not precious to the young people. In fact, many times, my observation is the young people are bored. It is probably not only bored, but disinterested. They don't want to be there. Sometimes on the back row, I see the young people, they're on their phone. I don't know if they're really singing from the hymn on their phone or what they're doing on their phone. And for others, I feel that the Lord's table meeting, and this is not just a problem for the young people, but I think a problem for all of us, is it has become, sorry, I'm not sure for translators how to say this, it has become routine. Do you know routine? You just wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, you just do it because that's what you always do. What are we doing? Oh, it's Lord's Day, we go to the meeting, we sing the song, we go home. We do the same thing. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. There's no preciousness. And I think the problem is not with you young people. I think the problem is on our side. Maybe. There's probably a lot of different factors. But one of the reasons that we may not enjoy or appreciate the Lord's table is because nobody ever told you. What is this meeting? What's this all about? You know, in the Old Testament, they had this feast called the Passover. And when they had this feast of the Passover, the parents were instructed, when you do this, you have to tell them. Right? Every year, they have to tell them, what does this mean? But I feel like we didn't do a good job of telling you young people, what does this mean? So I'll do a little bit. I'll share a little bit this morning. But I hope you would be like the children of Israel, because it says in the Old Testament, says when the children ask you, what is this all about? The parents have to tell them. So when you go home, write this on your page, ask your parents. Ask your parents, why do we do this? What does it mean? And what does it mean to you? I think all the parents will be troubled. Okay. So, another observation I made. And I know it's very hard to speak to you because the situations are so different. Maybe you come from Anaheim. Brother Rodrigo, in the church in Anaheim, how many young people are there? 120. Just in his locality. Brother, what's your name? Yeah. Verilib, where do you live? Novi Sad, Serbia. How many saints are there in the whole country? 15. Okay. Brother David, where do you live?
Albania.
What city?
Tirana.
How many saints are there?
About 12.
In the whole country. So when I speak about the Lord's table, it's so hard. Because you may come from a situation where there's lots of saints. A very established, clear meeting. Saints with a lot of experience. Or you may come from a place, they don't even have the Lord's table. But I want to put in you a realization. This is very important. And this is something that the Lord told us to do. Not our parents, but the Lord told us to do this. And it really matters to Him. So, not only should we ask our parents, you should write on your page, Lord, what does the Lord's table mean to you? If you would ask these questions, I think you would get answers. So we will do our best to share a little bit, but it takes a lot of time to understand. So yeah, I was going through my observation, which was, I don't know how it is where you are, but in London, where I am, I've seen that we have the children's meeting. Maybe you don't have a children's meeting where you are. But then all of a sudden, the children, they get saved. They get baptized. But every week they used to go to the children's meeting, every week. But then one day they get baptized. Now, what do I do? Maybe mom and dad says, now it's time for you to come to the Lord's table meeting. I don't know. So if you're not familiar with this, just please listen. But you go into that Lord's table meeting and you see all those saints and they're praying and they're singing songs that you never sing. I don't see any of the songs on the Lord's table here. Actually, don't you? You might not even have a taste for it. And they're praying, they're shouting, and you're just wondering, when does this meeting end? I don't know how I fit here. I don't know how I fit. Maybe I'll go back to the children's meeting. And so you go back to the children's meeting. And then you're realizing, these are kids. I'm not a child anymore. So you're wondering, where do I fit? You're in limbo. You're not a child. You're not an adult. And no one's told you what you're doing here. You don't know how to function. So this is why I say it's our fault, serving ones. We have to pick up this burden. There's a lot of meaning here. There's a lot of meaning here. And I'll start by pointing out this. Do you know the Lord Jesus, He told the disciples when He was going to die. I don't mean that like ambiguously. I mean very specifically and definitely, He told the disciples, in 2 days' time, the Son of Man will be delivered up and will be crucified. I don't know why they didn't pay attention to that, but as a brother, I kind of do. The brothers were like, oh, amen. The sisters were like, what? Oh, what have I got to pour out on him? Mary's response, she just poured it. Once she heard that, she went and she got the most valuable thing she had, and she just poured it on the Lord. And the disciples were like, what? What's going on? The same one, so valuable. Two completely different evaluations. So anyway, the point is the Lord told them, in 2 days' time, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna be crucified. He didn't just say I'm gonna die. I will be delivered up and I'll be crucified. Now I hope this does not wrongly bring up some feelings, because many of us pass through many difficulties in our life. And I just speak this as someone who has recently passed through losing people. But sometimes we don't know when somebody will go. We don't know. It is under God's sovereignty. We don't know how much time we have. But if you knew, or if someone you loved knew, I'm going to die, don't you think what they would say would be very important. Be very important. And so the Lord, he spoke. What did he talk about? He knew that he was going to die. There's a lot to say, and he spoke a lot of things. So I don't want you to get the impression he just spoke about the Lord's table. But this is one of the things he spoke about. And he said, do this. Okay, I want you all to repeat that. Do this. One more time. Do this. The Lord didn't tell us to do many things at all. He never told us to have the Poland conference. I mean, he did, inwardly, as the Spirit. But when he was on the earth, he didn't say, do many things. My point is, you get the point. He said, do this. Why? So I'm doing a bad job with the outline because I'm starting with the last point first. Anyway, ignore that. Do this in remembrance of me. Why do we have the Lord's table? Why do we have the Lord's table? To remember the Lord. And the last point of your outline says, to declare. Do you know declare? Did you enjoy declaring this week? Oh, I enjoyed declaring. Who was it? I was lost, but now I'm found. That's to declare. Have you ever been to a funeral meeting where somebody stood up and said, my uncle died? No, you never went to a meeting like that. In a funeral meeting, you're just full of just bitterness and tears and sadness. But he said, do this. What? Declare my death until I come. Because his death is something we declare. Why? We're not here crying, oh, he suffered so much, which we really appreciate. And I don't want to give you the wrong impression. But we're not just there saying, oh, poor Jesus. Poor Jesus. And he was treated so badly. No, we're here declaring Jesus Christ defeated Satan on the cross. By his death, I am redeemed. By his death, I am a member of the body of Christ. This is our declaration. This is how I remember him, by enjoying him. So he wanted us to do this. He didn't say, have the young people's meeting. He didn't say, he said, do this. Do you see it's important? The one who loved us so much would come and be a man, come and be the Lamb of God. This is what he wants us to do. And it's not because it's just one meeting a week. It's actually a principle. It's just during that one time together we set aside everything else. I don't need to go to work. You don't need to go to school. We just come together, and you know what's on this table? I don't have it with me. On this table, we're all gathered around. I don't know how you do it where you're from, but there's a table in the middle. We're all gathered around the table, and on this table, there's just bread and a cup. Bread and a cup. That means we're all focused on that. There's only one thing in the whole universe we're centered on, which is Christ and all that he has accomplished. Amen. And some of you are still going to the meetings, and it's fine. It's really fine, and I appreciate that. And we just be where we are until we're somewhere else. We're going because of our parents. Maybe you're here because of your parents. Wonderful. Very good. But one day, he needs to become your God. Not your parents' God, but your God. And the Lord's table meeting needs to become your meeting. You're not a child anymore. And some of you, your parents, may leave the Lord's recovery. What are you going to do? Or they may just be passing through something very difficult and they just don't know how to go on. What are you going to do? Well, if you've seen the preciousness, you may ask your mom and dad and say, "Mom, Dad, I understand. It's difficult for you right now. But would it be okay if I go to the meeting?" Oh, I've seen young people like this. Because they saw. And it's not because it's church, quote, quote, on Sunday. It's because they've seen the Lord, He is so precious to me. I love Him. I've enjoyed Him this week. And I'm a member of the body of Christ. And I want to remember Him with all the brothers and sisters. Amen. I hope the Lord's table would become precious to all of us. Let's read Roman numeral 3. The Lord established His table with the bread and the cup. He established it. He set it up. And there's these two symbols. I'm honestly just going to touch it in a very brief way, but their meaning is so profound. Please circle those questions I put on your page. And if you don't have parents, you can ask, because they're not in the church life. There's surely some brothers and sisters in this room you can ask who would love to be your spiritual parents. But let's take point A together. A, let's read it together. The cup signifies the blood that He shed for us on the cross in order to redeem us so that our sins may be forgiven. Now, I was thinking about the topic this week, and I was like, man, there's so much truth concerning the precious blood of Christ. And I was looking at our hymns, and I was going, yeah, this is okay. You know, what can wash away my sin? Very good. But it didn't really cover the separation between me and God. And I looked up another hymn, said, "Just as I am." Yeah, it's good, but it doesn't talk about overcoming the enemy. Did you know we have a publication in the Lord's Recovery called the Hymnal? And I think there's a danger in these days, because we're in the digital age, and maybe it's not printed in your language, so I apologize. But at least in English and Spanish and many major languages, we have a collection. I don't want to make, you know, belittle the songs in the young people's songbook, but I want to tell you there's more in terms of depth. You know, we're here, the young people's conference is like up, height, but we don't trust that much excitement. You know what we trust? Depth. Young people, we need to go downward. You know what I mean by downward? I don't mean you get sad. I mean we need to have roots. We need to have a life with the Lord which is not visible. Like, I don't know what's going on with the young people in Novi Sad. I don't know what's going on with the young people in, I don't know, Bielefeld. I don't know. I'm going to pick a random place. I don't know what's going on in your life. But that's why I'm saying you have to make this choice. I have to make this choice. I want to go downward with the Lord. Have a life with the Lord. So if you are aspiring for depth, the Hymnal is a place for depth. And in this Hymnal, I found a song. You know, I did this last time, so I hope it's not becoming a thing, but I was touched. Oh, look at this hymn. I'm going to give you two hymns which you could use for the questions to your parents or to your serving one or to the Lord. Write this number down. Sorry, I only have the English numbers. Oh dear, I don't have the number because I took a screenshot. Hold on a second. Oh no, maybe, let's see. You know, when I was young, I used to use a hymn book and I would know all the numbers of the hymns. But now I just type the words in and I'm forgetting them, sadly. It goes, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with this tune. Okay, I got it. 227. 227. I'll sing you the chorus. I'll try. Thine the cup of suffering, mine the cup of blessing. For thy love in thy redemption, praise will ever sing. Okay, it is not exciting. It is not like, back in my Father's house again, which I love. But it is deep. Thine, the cup. A cup. You ask, why did the Lord say a cup? I'm not going to teach you much today. I'm just going to give you lots of questions. I hope. Actually, this is very good, young people. Don't go through the church life just accepting things. Ask, why do we sit like this? Many questions. There's many questions to ask. But it would be really good if you'd ask questions of the hymn. Okay, so I gave you that one. Okay, the other one I want to give you. How about we just sing that chorus again? Wasn't that good? The cup of suffering, mine the cup of blessing, for thy love and thy redemption, praise wherever sing. And in my mind, I'm just seeing young people all across Europe, in Korea, in the United States, in Canada, in Mexico. And they came to the meeting that morning and they just inwardly, maybe they didn't have the boldness to declare it out loud, like those loud brothers on the front row. But inwardly they said, Lord Jesus, thank you. You suffered for me. I should have suffered. But instead, you blessed me. Oh, depth. Not routine. Not bored. See, it's not a message, saints. It's a heart-to-heart talk. Okay, so I was going to tell you the other song. 224. I'm going to sing you one verse. But what I discovered when I was reading through this song, I discovered, here, every verse, not every verse, but some of the verses cover the three aspects. What are my problems? What are your problems? Remember we had insolvable problems? Which one? Guilt, accusation, separation. This song, 224, there's a whole verse on each of these points. Oh, anyway. What verse should I sing to you, or with you, if you remember it? As we're sharing of the cup, how can we restrain our praise? For the blood thou sheds for us, worth of which none can appraise. Oh, how precious is thy blood. All our problems it resolves. In thine efficacious blood, all our care and fear dissolves. And that's just the first verse. When you get into this verse, you'll find every verse gets deeper and deeper, more and more profound. And so it would be good if some young people would pray in their heart, but so good, not only for our sake, but for the whole meeting, if Elim, she didn't know I was going to call her out, if she just says, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood," all the saints would turn around and go, "Amen." Oh, because this is not just me and the Lord, me and the Lord. This is a meeting we're all enjoying together. A wonderful Savior. If that was the only thing you declared in the whole meeting, oh, it would be wonderful. Don't think I have to pray a big, massive, long prayer. And I have to say a lot. Just function. Just function a little bit. I'm so burdened about the saints. And the brothers in London know because I'm like a repeater. I just repeat myself. I have seen young people. I don't think I'm exaggerating, but maybe I am. But I will tell you, that's just my impression. I have seen young people come to the Lord's table meeting for their entire young people life after being a child, before university, and they never praised the Lord. Not one time in the Lord's table meeting. You can. You're not children anymore. You're members of the body of Christ. And we need your portion. And the Lord said, do this. If mom comes or not, if dad comes or not, I'm going to the meeting. I'm paying the price. And I'm going to turn my heart to the Lord and enjoy him with the saints. Don't think, I wish my meeting. If you say, Brother Tim, but it's not like Poland. You've not been to our meetings. You've not seen the brothers and sisters where I am. So terrible. Forget about that. Forget about that. It doesn't matter if the meeting is good or bad. I'm going to be in the meeting because the Lord said, do this. And I am going to praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you're picking up the commission. This will take years to enter into the depths of what the Lord has done for us and how we can enjoy him. Okay, let's go on to B. The bread signifies the Lord's physical body that he gave for us on the cross to impart his in order to impart his life into us. So, I didn't speak much about the cup, but the cup represents, signifies the blood that he shed on the cross. And there's so much the saints can share with us concerning when did the Lord start? When did the bleeding? Oh, how much we appreciate the suffering of the Lord for us. But then we have the bread. You know, you have a bread, and I don't know what the bread looks like where you are. When you think about bread, if I was to say the word bread, most of us think about a loaf of bread. You know, the word bread means many different things. In Germany, I think the Germans are thinking of bread, like this way. But if I talk to Jim and Lisa in Israel, they think of bread something else. And if I think about in the UK, bread, right? It's different. What kind of bread is this? Is it just a loaf of bread you brought from the shops? Sliced, toasted bread? No. You have to realize that the bread here was the bread, the unleavened bread. That means it's flat. It's flat bread. I don't know what it looked like. Maybe it's like what we have today in Israel. They have in the Passover. But one thing about this kind of bread is you have to break it. You break it and you share it. You break it and you share it. That signifies his own. He said, this is my body. It's my body. Just like you take a piece of bread and you break it. On the cross, the Lord was broken. His physical body was broken. So that I can share him. Oh, thank you, Lord. So every time I take the bread, I say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that your body was broken for me. Can you do that? As the saints where you are, they're passing out the bread. Nobody knows. But when you pass the bread, you say, thank you, Lord, I am a member of your body. Okay, let's read point C. The remembrance in the Bible is not meditating. First and foremost, it is eating. Oh, eating. The remembrance of the Lord in the Bible is to eat and drink the Lord. Sometimes, I don't know if you, probably as children, as young people, you observe the saints watching. Oh, why does that brother or sister close their eyes when they're taking the cup? Or I'm not sure, what are they doing? Maybe that's what I should be doing. I need to be closing my eyes more. What they're doing, you know, many times they're doing that because they want to really spend time to appreciate the Lord. But we don't spend the whole meeting closing our eyes, meditating like that. We remember the Lord by eating Him. How do you eat the Lord? You sing, you declare, you praise, you pray. That's to enjoy the Lord, is to eat the Lord. It's so good. He gave us something to eat and something to drink. That shows that He wants us to enjoy Him. And D says, in God's eyes, when we believe and receive the Lord in this way, we are eating His flesh and drinking His blood. Okay, all together, point four. When we break bread, not only do we testify that we are joined to the Lord, but we also testify that we are joined to all the saints and are in oneness with all the saints. So this bread, just like I said before, there's only one thing on the table, the bread and the cup. And there's only one bread. There's only one bread. So by eating it, when I take the bread in, oh, what happens to the bread? You don't know what to say? What happens to the bread? It gets into me, and it becomes me. I got joined to the bread. By eating the bread signifies when I receive the Lord Jesus, I got joined to Him. Every time, every week, I get a time to remember. I am joined to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got joined to you. On the other hand, not only I get the bread, but this sister gets the bread, this sister gets the bread, this sister. We all share just one bread. So while you are there, I'm just picking on Novosad, because I see you, brother, enjoying the Lord. While you are there, young people, which young people are in Novosad? Can you raise your hand? Oh, thank you, brothers. Brothers, while you are there enjoying the Lord, you have to realize that you are not alone. David, you're not alone. Esther, you're not alone. We are members in one body. And this family is so big. It includes not just the saints who meet with us, those 15. It includes all the believers in the city. It just happens to be that the other brothers and sisters, they haven't seen this. But we're declaring all the believers in this city are members of the body of Christ. All the believers in this country, which there's just one body. Oh, that should be so encouraging. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's read point A. All of God's children. Okay, let's read that sentence again. All of God's children, as they are redeemed by the precious blood, are included in this one bread. Though we are many, we are one bread. Now we have a practical point, and I'd like to finish with these practical points. Let's read point B. When we come to the Lord's table, we have to confess and deal with any negative things between us and God and between us and men. Our relationship should be right and positive with God and men. So, I would say when we come to the Lord's table meeting, actually to every meeting, we have to exercise two things. We have to exercise our heart, and we have to exercise our spirit. With our heart, we have to turn our heart to the Lord. Oh, all I can think about is my homework tomorrow. All I can think about is why is my dad so angry with me? Or why does this always happen to me? Or how come my sister lost my comb again? Or I don't know, why is my brother so annoying? We have to turn our heart to the Lord. Okay, forget about my brother. Oh, I'm such a failure. I really didn't have a good week. I don't think I should be in the meeting. Turn your heart to the Lord. Forget about all that. This morning, I don't care if I'm good or bad, right or wrong, up or down. I just want to turn to you. I give you this meeting. And the way to do this, you know, there's this connection between our heart and our spirit, and it's called our conscience. Our conscience. It's part of our heart. It's part of our spirit. And we need to confess. You know what's really interesting is when we try and get to the Lord's table meeting in the morning, it's so hard because we're always late. And then once you're late, what happens when people are late? I don't know if it happens at your house. Then we all start blaming one another. And then there's arguments. Oh, why didn't you get this? You should have been... Oh. And then maybe I lose my temper. Kids, you need to... I told you. So how am I going to go to the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. I'll just be shouting at my kids. Oh, you know what I have to do? I have to say, children, I'm really sorry. I'm such a bad dad. I don't apologize. I really used the wrong tone. And they say, it's okay, Dad. No, it's okay. I said, no, but I really misrepresented the Lord. I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have spoken that way. Or I need to say to my wife, Lizzie, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Then I go into the meeting. The glass is clear. I can enjoy the Lord. So this is a key. Turn our heart, confess. Then the meeting is so sweet, so rich, and so full. So I've finished. But I hope you were left with an impression that this is an important meeting. The Lord charged us to do this. And there's much for us to learn. And we need to not only go upward, we need to grow downward. If we would grow downward and learn in this meeting how to exercise and to function. And I would say, if you do not have a Lord's table meeting in your place where you live, let us know. You can always zoom into our meeting. I've had young people that zoom into our meeting. And sometimes I ask them to say something or do something. But I hope you'll just have that aspiration. Oh, this is really important. I need to be there. I need to learn how precious it is. May we all, including the serving ones, I think all the serving ones would say the same thing. May we all learn and go on in our practice and appreciation of the Lord. Amen. And the practice of this meeting. Thank you, Lord. Let's all finish reading point five together, and I'll hand over to the brothers. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes.